Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. Hello, this is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, and you are listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We do appreciate you listening in today. This is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We're going to take just a moment and invite you to come and be with us at any time. We have services for all ages beginning Sunday morning at 10 a.m. at Sunday school, and then we have our regular Sunday morning worship service at 11 a.m. So we'd love for you to come out and be with us. We have our church website with more information on that. That is MountLebanonBC.org, and so we have the music finished up there. And once again, we're glad you're with us today to listen in to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We want to welcome all of our listeners on our home station, WATA 1450 AM 1450 WATA, and that's right here in Boone, North Carolina. And then our Saturday broadcast on 690 AM WZAP, and also on Saturdays, 89.1 FM The Truth in Watertown, South Dakota. So Noah is not with us today. He's out of town today and working, and so we're handling it all ourselves. But last week we began a new series entitled What I Can Do for My Country. We are going to continue on with that today. What I Can Do for My Country. And we started out by talking about President Kennedy, and in his inaugural address, he asks a question, this very famous quotation by him. He was talking to his fellow Americans, and he said, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. And so I've been thinking about that the past several weeks. What could I do? What I can do for my country? And we began, first of all, out of the Bible in 1 Timothy chapter number 2. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. And beginning at verse number 1, I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. And the Bible said, I exhort therefore that first of all. And so we have a first. We're told what to do first. And this is what we're dealing with, is the subject of prayer. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And so there's a lot of instruction, a lot of good things here in these first four verses in 1 Timothy chapter number 2. I'm just going to quickly go over the first three things that I mentioned last week. Of course, it says, first of all, so what can you do? Paul is writing to Timothy, one preacher, one pastor writing to another young preacher. And Paul informs Timothy, here's what you can do. Here's what you need to be doing first of all. And he mentions, actually, there's prayer can be broken down into four categories there: supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. And so we started last week with supplications. Supplications in the Bible, that is between me and the Lord. And that is where your prayer life has to begin. Your prayer life is very personal. It's between you and the Lord. When you go to pray, you don't have to put on airs. You don't have to act like nothing's wrong when it is. You don't have to say things you don't mean, because God knows your heart. If you go to pray and you're aggravated, you might as well just say, Lord, help me. I'm aggravated. He already knows anyway. And so supplications are between, they are personal, they're very personal between the individual and the Lord. And so if I'm going to pray, the first thing I need to do is make sure my own heart is right. Psalms chapter 66 and verse number 18, the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So he is concerned about the condition of our heart. and supplications. That's me and the Lord talking one with another. And I'm bringing my case before him. So first of all, supplications, then prayers. We talked about this last week. Prayers are regular petitions, regular things we ask. The word ask and the word prayer is the same word in the Bible. In Matthew chapter 7, where it says, "Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." Pray and ask means the same thing. So when we pray, we're asking about things. We pray about regular things. A lot of people keep a prayer list, and they pray for people. Maybe they've got a list of people. I mentioned several preachers that I know keep lists of other preachers and pastors and missionaries, and they try to pray for them on a regular basis. I've kept a prayer list down through the years. It's not the same one I update and go over, but I have a little list, or big list, and now over the years, and I try to pray. And it's got to the place where I can't go through the whole thing at one time, but I'll take it in sections, and I'll move my marker, and then I pray. And there's preachers and missionaries, so prayers are people. Prayers are things we might have people that have spiritual needs that we pray for. A lot of times at church, we have people that have health needs, and maybe they're sick, maybe they have cancer, something like that, and we will pray for an individual and their family. That's something we do regularly. You have special requests. Somebody might be praying about a job. Somebody might be praying about a decision that they have to make. And so prayers are general, regular things we pray about. Then intercessions. This is where we left off last time. We were talking about intercessions. And intercessions is interceding on behalf of somebody else. We gave the example of Abraham in Genesis chapter number 18, and the Lord passed by, visited with Abraham, had a meal with him, and the Lord is getting up and he's getting ready to leave. And he says, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I'm getting ready to do?" Now I'm paraphrasing there. That's not an exact quote. But the Lord told Abraham, "I'm getting ready to go to Sodom, and I've heard that it's wicked down there. And if it is, I'll know it." And he was getting ready to go down and destroy Sodom. Well, Abraham, he's got family down there in Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot and his wife and his daughters and son-in-laws. And boy, Lot, his nephew, lives down there. And Abraham intercedes before the Lord. And he said, "Lord, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? What if there's 50 righteous people down there?" And the Lord said, "If there's 50 righteous, I'll not destroy it." And Abraham thinks about it. Boy, I've been to Sodom, and I don't know if there's 50 righteous people or not. He said, "Lord, for the lack of 5, would you destroy Sodom?" And he said, "If there's 45, I'll save it." And Abraham, he continues the rest of that chapter, Genesis chapter number 18. He said, "What if there's 40? And the Lord says, "Well, if there's 40, I'll spare it. What if there's 30? What if there's 20? He gets down to 10 people. Lord, he said, "If there's 10 righteous people in Sodom," and the Lord told Abraham, "If there's 10 righteous people in Sodom, I will not destroy it." And what Abraham was doing, Abraham was interceding. He was praying for those who were not praying for themselves. The people in Sodom, they were wicked. They were not praying. They were not seeking God. They were not wanting to please God. Lot, he is an example of a carnal individual. I don't know that there was much prayer going on in Lot's house. But Abraham, he knew the Lord meant business, and so he interceded. He went between the Lord and the people down in Sodom. That is what intercession is. He was praying for those who were not praying for themselves. And so Paul told Timothy, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." So when we're talking about what we can do for our country, we can pray for our country. Prayers, supplications, intercessions. Now, there's one more part of prayer that we want to go over, and it says, "and giving of thanks." Now, this is very interesting to me. And giving of thanks, Paul told Timothy, what can you do when it comes to kings, when it comes to those in authority? He said, you can pray, you can supplicate, you can intercede, and you can give thanks. The Bible said, be made for all men. Now, our thankfulness or lack of thankfulness, it says a great deal about us. It says a great deal about us spiritually. It says something about us mentally, what our attitude is, what we're thinking about, where we attribute our blessings as coming from, if we even think about it that way. And so giving of thanks is sort of a indicator of the condition of our heart. How many of us, maybe there's parents that are listening in today, how many of us have done something for somebody else? Or maybe we've done something for our children, and while they just took it for granted, they didn't even say so much as a thank you for what we had done for them. Now, when somebody doesn't even give you a thanks or a thank you, well, the next time it rolls around to have an opportunity to do something for them, we may not be so eager to help them again. Why? Because, well, they didn't even say thank you. Thank you is the easiest thing in the world to do. I mean, if somebody does something for you, it's just common courtesy to thank them and to say thank you. It doesn't say much to say thank you. And so when someone isn't thankful, well, does that make you want to do something for them? Does that make you want to be a blessing to them in the future? Just to be honest, from a human standpoint, no, it does not. Now, the Lord, He expects that there would be a giving of thanks. Now, I want us to think just a moment about our nation. And we think about the United States of America, and even before we were officially the United States of America, America has a long history of thanksgiving. And we've talked about that probably over the years several times here on Blessings of Liberty. When we go back to the founding of our nation, when we go back to the Pilgrims, and the Pilgrims came to this country, one of the first things, or actually the first thing that they did, was that they gave thanks to God for bringing them safely to the mainland. And from very early on, from the Pilgrims forward, they established a pattern of thanksgiving. We probably all know about the first Thanksgiving and the Pilgrims and the Indians, and how that although they'd had great tragedy that first year, God spared them, and they began to prosper, and they had crops, and they had bounty, and they had food, and they had game, and even the Indians had helped them get started. So they had a official time of thanksgiving. And although Thanksgiving as a holiday was not made official till many years later, you can find times of a proclamation of thanksgiving that was made in the colonies. You have times of thanksgiving that have been declared in the different states by the governors or by the legislature. And you have many examples of thanksgiving being declared nationally speaking. George Washington proclaimed a thanksgiving for God delivering. They gave honor, they gave credit that God had delivered them during the American Revolution. And you read about Abraham Lincoln making a day of thanksgiving. I used to have part of that in my Bible that I had written down, where during the Civil War, after that the thing was over, that they had a day of thanksgiving. And over and over and over, you have examples of our nation being thankful. And during and after World War I and World War II, there's been times where presidents have proclaimed days of thanksgiving and praise. And there's even been days of repentance and prayer that God would bless and help our nation during times of tragedy. So America has a long history of thanksgiving. But I would say today, and probably you would agree with me, that as a nation, we as a whole are probably less thankful now than we've ever been in our history. The reason why we have been thankful in the past as a nation is because we had a Judeo-Christian heritage. We took our example from the Bible that the nation of Israel gave thanks and the early Christians gave thanks. And so following the pattern and the principles in the Bible, our leaders, even in America, took time to give thanks. They got their example from the Bible. But we live in a nation where the Judeo-Christian heritage is being thrown overboard. It's being pushed into a dark corner and encouraged to be forgotten about, and it's being replaced by another religion. Not no religion, but another religion. And the other thing that is replacing the Judeo-Christian example in America is the religion of humanism. Humanism is just trust in human potential. That's all that it is. Instead of thankfulness for God's blessing, we have praise to man. And we have praise to human potential, and we're not looking to the Lord. I'm saying we as a nation as a whole are not looking to the Lord God of heaven any longer, but we're looking to our own selves. Now, not everybody, but a lot of people, a lot of our leadership. I mean, honestly, today, if the president or some of the leaders in Congress or the main senators up there, or if even the governor of the different states got up and just talked about praising and thanking God, why, that'd sure make the news, probably in a bad way, if it made the news at all. But our nation as a whole, our leaders are not, they're not thanking God. They're not thinking about God, and they're not thanking God. But there's a lot of praise to man being given out. Now, we're not the first nation to pass from thankfulness and praise to haughtiness and self-praise, and it's either going to be one or the other. See, when we're thankful, we are acknowledging that our blessings come from somewhere other than our own selves. That's what's happening when we're thankful. We are acknowledging our blessings come from God. But if we cease to be thankful, then we are lifted up in pride. And we look around, we say, where did our blessings come from? Well, they came from ourselves. We made these things. We caused these things to be. We are the reason. We are the fountain. See, there's a difference between thanking God and humanism, which praises man. But we're not the first nation that has gone down that road from being thankful to being haughty about their existence. I'm thinking about the nation of Israel, even in the Bible. After all that the Lord had done for the nation of Israel, do you know what they did? They forgot about God, and they went away from the Lord, and they looked to the works of their own hands, and they praised their own selves. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 2, verse number 8, for example, it says, their land also is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. That's humanism. The religion of humanism has been around a long time, and it can be summed up in those verses. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. Now, the Lord had told Israel many, many hundreds of years, even before the book of Isaiah or the prophet Isaiah came along, God had warned them not to forget about him. And that is exactly what they did as a nation. But way back in Deuteronomy chapter number 8, verse number 11, God warned the nation of Israel. He said, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and has built goodly houses and dwelt therein. Doesn't that sound familiar? When you've eaten, you're full, you've got big nice houses and you're living in them. He said in verse 13, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied. Boy, you can get too big for your britches. And I believe that's what we have being described here in chapter number 8. Verse 14, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Verse 18 says, but thou shalt, or verse 17 says, and thou shalt say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. God told the nation of Israel, he said, beware that you don't forget God and think that all these blessings that you've got of your own accord. Now, over in the New Testament, in Romans chapter number one tells us about a people who have done that very thing. They've forgotten God. And as a result of forgetting God, they were given up to, the Bible says, uncleanness and vile affections. They were given up to vile affections. And the Bible goes on in Romans chapter number one and says that God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Talking about a nation that God just, they were so wicked. They had gotten so far away from God that God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Somebody's been turned over to a reprobate mind. According to my understanding of the scriptures, there's no hope of them coming to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But now, at the beginning, where Paul begins to tell us about this group of people, he said in verse number 21, it said, because. Now, how did this happen to a group of people that they were one time righteous, but they became unrighteous? One time they had morality, but they were given up to immorality, and God gave them over to a reprobate mind. It says in verse number 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And I've got that underlined. I've been thinking about that. At the beginning of the problems of these people, it said, neither were thankful. What was wrong with these people? When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. The glaring sin of our day, no matter what you might think it is. Oh, it's this sin, it's that sin, it's abortion, it's all these other things that are going on, immorality, sexual immorality, pornography, you know, many things, drunkenness. We can mention all kinds of things, but the glaring sin of our day begins with neither were thankful. That's how it starts in Romans chapter number one, that people that God gave them over to a reprobate mind, neither were thankful. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God. They said, we're not following God. We don't want to hear about God. We don't want the Ten Commandments. We don't want prayer. We don't want God in the public sector. So they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Thankfulness will just cause us to do better. It'll cause us to do better before God, because when we're thankful, we're acknowledging the Lord. And so neither were thankful. So Paul tells Timothy, what can you do? First of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Now, I want to talk about some of the other things in these verses. Paul starts off telling Timothy, first of all, pray, and giving of thanks. But then notice what he says. He says, be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. We have that word for, F-O-R, three times. Be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So all men, kings, and all that are in authority. That's who we're to pray for. And we always hear it in that sense. And this is what I want to get across today. We always hear, well, pray for our leaders. Pray for our nation. Pray for our president. Pray for our congressman. Pray for the men and women serving on the city council, whatever the case might be. We hear that. Pray for them. Pray for them to have wisdom, we might say. Pray for them to have guidance in such and such a decision. Pray for the Supreme Court. I heard that a lot last year, last spring. Pray for the Supreme Court as they debate and talk about the subject of marriage. Pray for them. We hear pray for their salvation, that they would come to know Christ if they don't know Him. So there's a lot of ways that we hear that, pray for. But as I study about this and look in the Word of God, the word for, if you look that up and just think about the word for, it means against, like over against, like somebody on the other side of the room, over against you. The word for means this, in the place of, as a substitute or equivalent. And I ask you the question today, have you ever thought about it like this? We need to pray for kings, all men, all that are in authority. We need to pray for, or as that word for means, in their place, because they, by and large, are not praying. I don't know how much prayer, real, sincere, desiring and seeking God is coming out of the White House or State House. I don't know how much is coming out of the courthouses of our land, how much real, sincere prayer is coming out of these places. So Paul tells Timothy, he said, pray for them, meaning this, pray in place of, as a substitute or equivalent, because they, by and large, are not praying. And that's exactly what Abraham was doing in Genesis chapter number 18. He was praying for people who were not praying for themselves. They were not praying for themselves. They were not concerned about their spiritual condition, moral condition, living conditions, or anything else. But Abraham was, because Abraham knew the Lord, and Abraham knew what the Lord was getting ready to do. So Abraham prayed for. He prayed in their place. He prayed because they were not praying. And God is looking today for some people that will pray for those that are not praying, for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority. And the same thing is taught in the book of Ezekiel. The prophet Ezekiel, he talks about the Lord looking for a man. Ezekiel 22 and verse number 30, the Bible said over there, and I, this is talking about the Lord, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. What it's saying there in the book of Ezekiel is that God was looking for somebody that would pray, that would stand in the gap, that would make up the hedge for the land in place of. Nobody was praying. And God was looking for somebody to do that very thing, to stand in the gap and to make up the hedge for the land, that He should not destroy it. But God said, I found none. So we come today, our time is quickly getting gone, but we ask the question again, what can I do for my country? I'll tell you what you can do, what I can do for my country. I can pray. I can pray for my country. You can pray when others are not praying. And so when you think of it like that, I am encouraged for our country, because I know that every time that people of faith meet together, that they do that very thing. They pray for our nation. They pray for our leaders. They're praying. Not everybody has stopped praying, but there are still those that pray and believe in prayer. So Paul tells young Timothy, young Pastor Timothy, here's what you can do. First of all, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercession, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And so that's what we're going to begin to look at next week, what that means, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Well, our time is gone today. We do appreciate you listening in to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. You can find out more information on our church website, mountlebanonbc.org. That's mtlebanonbc.org. Have a great day, and God bless you is our prayer.